What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. It's the Married at First Sight edition. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife. And co-host is the one only Teresa out there.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
All right. Let's get it on. I think I know why these episodes are now an hour and a half instead of
because
2 hours.
Because nothing's happening?
No. I actually thought, woo, let's not start off the episode like that, Teresa. I actually thought this was quite the entertaining episode.
It was better. It was better than some others.
I'll give you one more guess. Okay. Why we went from 2 hours, because we started the season with 2 hours. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why we went from 2 hours to 1.5 hours. And I don't know. This has not been verified by anyone. I don't have any secret sources over here. But think about it. What changed? What happened over this season so far?
I don't know. I mean, I know what happened, but I don't know where you're going with this, to be honest.
We lost a couple.
Oh, okay.
So I think this is basically what happens when you plan on having 5 couples for an entire season.
Well,
and then a few episodes in, you go down to 4 couples. There's no way to stretch for 2 hours for this many more episodes.
Well, it happened before and they still stretched it.
And maybe they learned their lesson. Because it was last season?
Boston. No, it was Boston. And that one was good.
It was Alyssa.
Mock the shock. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to imagine that's why. Because why would you start the season at 2 hours?
Maybe you don't have enough content. Like these, let's just be honest. Like these Nashville peeps, they're not very dramatic. Everyone's like, even those who don't get along well, still get along.
Yeah. Does that say something about Nashville as a city? Because Boston, oh, we fired up over here, Teresa. We fired up. Don't even get me started with Mass, New York.
I mean, San Diego was good too.
Chicago, San Diego. Whale's vagina. What are we doing over here? We're getting fired up. But Nashville, in the South, it's a little more slower pace. People mind their P's and Q's.
I have to say I love Nashville. We've been a few times.
The end of this episode made me crave Nashville.
Right?
Yeah.
When they went to the bull riding and they're like ready to hit Broadway. I'm ready to go to Nudies.
Nudies. Oh, never forget.
We have
Nudies.
A t-shirt from Nudies. Yeah. Both of us.
We absolutely do. So, good episode, I thought. But it hit me because there was zero Dom and Mac this episode. Usually they kind of sprinkle it in. Oh, let's check in on them. Oh, they're going to meet with everybody and talk shit about each other. Zero. And I go, oh, if we had another couple, we'd easily have another 30 minutes. So I think that's why. But something to say at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to skip next week.
Yeah, we're sorry, guys.
Can you guys keep a secret? If you guys can keep a secret, we can tell you why.
Well, first of all, what day is today, Jonathan?
That we're recording or that we're releasing?
Releasing.
Happy birthday, Teresa.
Exactly.
Happy birthday.
And we are Facebook friends, so you should know it.
Well, it's not your birthday yet.
It is.
It's not.
On the release day. When our friends are listening, I want them to celebrate with me.
I understand, but you're calling me out saying we're Facebook friends. I have not been alerted yet because it's not your birthday yet. In full disclosure, it's 9:56 p.m. on March 8th. So in 2 hours and 4 minutes, Teresa, you will be waltzing into your birthday.
Do you have a balloon?
Why don't you take it easy over there? We've been very busy.
Because
we're trying to get this podcasting done. Because, again, if you can keep a secret. This is a secret, right?
It is a secret.
We're going to let our friends in on the secret, though.
Okay.
We're going to the Czech Republic.
Woohoo!
For somebody else's birthday.
Not mine.
But it's a surprise.
Not John's.
Not mine. We'll do a little celebrating.
We'll do it all, but... Yes, we're going there on a surprise visit. So don't tell anyone. Don't share it on social media because my fam follows us.
Should we say who we're going for?
It's my beloved mother.
It is your absolute beloved mother. She is turning, well, she's getting up there. Teresa.
She's turning 30.
She's turning. It's her second 30th birthday and we are going there to surprise her. She's having a party.
She's having a party.
Your dad is throwing her a party.
Yes.
We were invited.
Yeah.
we said no.
Yes.
Because we just saw them a few months ago. But in reality, we are going to celebrate the Reza's mom's 60th birthday.
I know. It's exciting. And I feel like it's a good time to go because my family has been through a few things. My parents' health. Not to get into details, but I think it's a great time to go and see my parents, my grandmother.
It's beautiful.
And no one knows about it. So everyone's going to be like, what? What are you doing here? So
keep it on the down low.
Because everyone thinks we're coming in the summer.
We're trusting you guys to keep this a secret.
Yeah.
But that's why we try to do as much podcasting as we can on vacation, but this is a special vacation. There's going to be a party. There's going to be family rendezvous. We'll be traveling. So for us to watch this show and then find time to record it, it wouldn't be fair to you guys because it wouldn't be up to our standards. It wouldn't be fair to us. It wouldn't be fair to Teresa's family. So we're going to have to skip MAFS next week.
Yeah, but we will be releasing 90 Day and Patreon, Darcy and Stacey.
Yeah, 90 Day will be out and Darcy and Stacey will be out. So sorry, MAFS friends, but we'll catch you the week after.
Yeah, and the reason why is because when MAFS airs, that's going to be the time we're going to be kind of moving around and traveling a little bit.
Yes.
So it would be very difficult for us to do MAFS. However, we'll do 90 and we'll do Darcy and Stacey from the Czech Republic.
Yes, have no fear. We will be there.
Yes.
In your ear or on screen if you are on the Family Affair level of the Patreon. All right. That is that. Very quickly, follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. We're over there. We'll keep you updated with all sorts of things. Maybe we'll post a picture of Europe. Who knows what we're going to do at Married to Reality Pod on Instagram. We mentioned the Patreon, patreon.com/MarriedToReality. Currently doing Darcy and Stacey, but right around the corner is Love in Paradise.
Woo-hoo.
And a little further around the corner is Seeking Brother Husband.
I think you got it. Swap.
Strike that, reverse it?
Yeah, I think Seeking Brother Husband starts when Darcy and Stacey end.
I think you're right.
And then we're going to pick up Love in Paradise season 3 in April.
So don't check your ears. You heard right. We'll be covering two shows on the Patreon.
Yes.
Our friends are getting double the fun over there. So if you're not a member, join the Patreon, patreon.com/MarriedToReality at that Cousins Club level, $6 a month. You're going to be getting two shows a week. Plus, sometimes we throw a bonus in there. Definitely a bonus if you're at the Family Affair level. It's a good time. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality.
It's a great time, guys.
It's a really good time.
Come on over and join the fun.
Also, just make sure you're following the podcast right here. So no matter when things get released, if they're a little late or not, or we throw a special over here, you'll get it. It's so easy to follow the podcast. Look down, smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's hot. It's all the plants because oh, I also am a sucker for shopping for cactuses.
That's true.
I cannot keep them alive for too long.
Teresa, you're a suck. You win for shopping for cactuses.
But I loved, Jen and I, we actually enjoyed going to cactus stores or succulent stores and just like browsing around, picking the little family editions that we're going to kill within a few months.
We're not great with cactus.
We're not great. And you know why? You know, are you ready to know? Because it's your
fault. Because I live like a vampire.
Because you live like a vampire, exactly.
Right, so moving on, you're following, you're joining. Last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do. We love the love. And if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on the main podcast, the 90 Day Podcast. So please drop us a line, 5-star review. We love it. We love you guys. So thank you.
All right.
All right. Let's do it. Let's get into this show. Married at First Sight, season 16. Is it episode
10? 10.
Got it.
Episode 10, as far as I know.
Episode 10, COVID-19. Jasmine and Aris.
Well, okay. Aris has COVID, and Jasmine's just taking care of him, and nobody's wearing a mask.
I know, and hashtag liberal alert over here, but I'm with you. And we were very cautious early on in the pandemic. Then we learned a little bit more, and we got a little more lax. And I think
still
definitely cautious. I think that's fine to ease up the restrictions. I think it's great. I think we had to, right? But you have two bedrooms in that apartment. Why is Aris sitting in the living room contaminating the whole apartment?
Because he's a moron. And yes.
Well, it takes two to tango. And yeah. Jasmine's allowing this.
And there are new guidelines. I think it's, what is it? If you feel fine, it's like 4 or 5 days.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm a little over it, to be honest. But We're waxed, we're vaxxed, we're ready to party. Like, yeah. we follow the rules.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have to be like, all right.
Here's my issue with this, right? You, no matter how you feel about COVID, each person reacts differently to it. So he's doing fine. He said, a little fatigue, nothing too crazy, right? Yeah. How do you know that Jasmine's not going to freak out and end up in a hospital?
Sure.
Like, you don't know that. So to expose her to something that you don't know how she's going to react to,
is
irresponsible.
She's a willing participant in this. She's allowing it, and that's fine. That's a decision for you and your housemates to make. I found that interesting. It struck me. I know a little bit about television production. I know a little bit about the way SAG works and that whole world. If this was 12 months ago, they would not be on the show.
I'm pretty sure it was about 12 months
ago. If it was earlier than it was.
Yeah.
Restrictions were so tight. They would not allow this to be filmed. It was such a, probably an insurance nightmare. High risk. It was not easy for productions to take place. And I think if this was a little bit earlier, Aris would not be in the middle of, he would at least be at his home quarantining. He would not be
around
camera people and Jasmine. It would not fly.
And listen, this is not just about COVID. It's like if he had the flu, that's also very contagious. It literally brought me down for 3 weeks.
Oh, you were worse with the flu than with COVID.
Oh my God, I was so bad. I didn't know what to do. And it was like, we were dating already. And after a week, I decided I'm fine enough to hang out. So I showed up at your doorstep and you were like, oh my God, like you need to go home.
You were quote unquote quarantining. We weren't using that term back then, but you were isolating for a week. And then I think you had a little cabin fever. So you said, let's get together. Let's hang out. And I hadn't seen you. And I said, sure. If you feel up to it, let's go. You came over to my place. I opened the door. I saw you white as a ghost. I said, maybe we go out because I didn't want you in my apartment contaminating that space. So we went to a restaurant. We had lunch. You looked like you were about to die while we were waiting for a table. And as soon as we finished, you were like, I think I need to go home. And I was like, I think you should have never left home.
And I was out for another 2 weeks. Like, I couldn't leave the apartment. Like, the only place I kind of like got to was the pharmacy. And that was the time that my stripper roommate wasn't around to even pick up something for me. So that was unfortunate.
She was picking up other
illnesses. She was. She was doing something, but I had to, you know, take care of myself. And I did, but I struggled. So like, let's say if I ever had a flu, I would still want to sleep in a different room. I don't want you to go through it.
And I appreciate it. And we did. You had COVID, I don't know, 6 months ago, 12 months ago.
I had COVID before last time going to Czech. So almost a year ago.
8-9 months ago. And we quarantined our own apartment because
I did.
I'm pretty sure I had COVID. I felt awful.
Yeah.
But I was just saying to myself and to you, if I don't have COVID now and I feel this bad, if I catch whatever you have, I'll be a goner.
I did have COVID, but I was fine. Not good.
Not good.
I was walking around with the mask.
All right.
Moving on. COVID segment's over.
We haven't had a COVID warning on this podcast in I feel like 15 months, and now it's
going to
be all over this podcast. So, all right. Aris is feeling better. He wants to thank Jasmine for taking care of him and for putting herself in harm's way. So they wash Duchess the dog.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's Aris's idea to wash Duchess, even though Duchess is going to the groomer this week. Why would you want to? Like, I find it so strange. Like, him as a person, his whole act. Like, what are you doing?
Well, one, I don't know that he has Duchess's calendar on his phone. I don't think he knows that Duchess has an appointment. But it's his idea. Jasmine ends up washing Duchess. He was shooting Duchess with a hose like he was washing a car. And Jasmine was the one actually grooming and scrubbing and cleaning Duchess.
Yeah, poor Duchess.
What a swell dog.
That's a swell dog.
What an absolute swell baby.
But Aris, like, Jasmine was happy. She's like, I appreciate that it was his idea, even though Duchess is going to a groomer. I'm like, this was his idea?
He was wearing the hubby shirt. I think that goes a long way, too.
I guess.
A for effort. The intent was there. Nice gesture.
Laundry day.
Let's give it to him.
I mean,
laundry
he was
day.
Wearing the hubby shirt to wash Duchess, so.
That's such a good point. So how much do you respect that shirt, Aris? That's such a good point. All right. This is the episode where I guess a couple things happen. We get relationship exercises, and then we get walk a mile in the other person's shoes.
Yeah.
So first up is the relationship exercises for Jasmine and Eris. And it's have a real world conversation about what it takes to fall in love. Or no, have a real conversation about what it takes to fall in love in the real world.
Yes. And okay, I really truly dislike Eris more and more on every episode, and I've been disliking him from the start. So just imagine how much I dislike him on episode 10. This dude is so cocky. Who are you? You think you're the sexpert? You're not a sexpert because you're 40 and single. I don't see him being dead wild as he describes himself, or maybe he is, but you wanted to get married at first sight. Like, leave that whole persona that banged half of Nashville behind, because that's not the time. And like him saying like, you were in love like a lot, right? Like 5 times. It's like,
he was close. He was close without going over.
Okay. But like the way he said it, like if he said, oh, how many times have you been in love? I'm going to guess 5. It's all about how you say things.
Yeah.
Like, his whole demeanor was just, he just sucks.
I can't tell if he doesn't respect love or if he was feeling like Jasmine doesn't respect love the way he's like, well, you've been in love a lot, well, like 5 times.
Well, here's the thing. He said he was very close to being in love and he got dumped.
Right.
And that hurt. And I almost feel like that hurt his little ego so much so that I don't think he's ever been like really trying to have a relationship. I think he was dating, banging, and then it stopped because he's like, oh, I don't want to go through any of this. And now he turned into this macho man who wanted to get married, yet he's not there mentally. Like, I hate this for poor freaking Jasmine, who's in this for real. She seems like such a nice person, such a like chilled person.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, like having her shit together. Come on.
This is where we need expert intervention.
Yep.
We have poor Jasmine fending for herself over here against this sex-crazed lunatic. And I haven't seen DP's face once except in a talking head.
Yeah.
Pastor Cal came by once to mediate the divorce. Jasmine needs a wingman or a wingwoman to put Eris in his place. Otherwise, he's what is it? The prisoners are running the insane asylum. I don't know what the saying is, but Eris is in control and he's not playing by the rules. I mean, they don't even answer the question when it was like, oh, are you worried about the real world? Have a conversation about what it takes to fall in love.
Yeah.
He just skirts the issue. He's like, well, you've been in love, blah, blah, blah. They don't answer any of these questions.
No,
in a legitimate, honest way that's going to help further the relationship.
No, but what Eris thinks will further the relationship is to play Never Have I Ever.
Oh, this is good.
Where he gets to ask all the questions of things that he has done.
Nobody on MAFS knows how to play Never Have I Ever.
Oh my gosh.
First of all. But yes, this is his idea of, oh, we're supposed to have deeper conversation. Yeah, not 6 inches deeper. Like have a deeper conversation. Never have ever kissed a member of the same sex.
And okay, I hated this so much for Jasmine. And he goes, and because Jasmine's like, no, I have not. He's like, oh, you never kissed a girl. It's like, it's not a must. Like, she's not gay. Yes, there are girls who experiment, but
yeah, they do.
You don't have to. Like,
I know there was a lot
reaction,
there's so much judgment
so
going
much
on.
So much judgments, but I hated this. I'm like, she was such a douche.
Eris is still at the maturity level where he thinks bragging about your sex life is cool. Like, we've all been there. You're younger. Oh, yeah. You finally have sex. You think you're so cool. He's still living in that moment where he thinks the more girls he's banged, the cooler he is. And it's like, no, the more you talk about it, the lamer you are.
Yeah, he has the maturity level of a potato. Like,
I don't even know what that means, but it's accurate.
It's like none. It's like none.
Yeah. So we do learn he's had countless orgies, or so he says.
Also he says. Like, that's, I don't buy it. I really, you know why I don't buy it? Because
it'd be hard enough to find one person to bang you, let alone multiple.
Plus, I feel like people who art is wild and everything. Like, first of all, you're not going to go and marry at first sight.
Great point.
And second of all, the way he talks about it, it's like, it's almost like, it's not like being open about your sexuality. It's bragging.
It's just bragging.
It's bragging. It's not like, oh yeah, no, I've had orgies. Like, this is what I enjoy doing. Like, there are people who might be doing this and will talk about it openly. Sure, you do you. But he's just bragging and it's horrible.
Also, never have I ever is not the circumstance to have these conversations. Never have I ever is a competition. There's winners and losers. You don't, that's not the way, I think, to bring out these topics to your wife if you actually want to discuss them.
And here, this is where I got really mad. He's like, never have I ever cheated. And then he keeps drinking because he's been doing all these things. Oh, yeah, and Jasmine is like, no, I've never cheated on anyone. And then he's like, your life sounds so boring up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Smack. I would like smack him so hard.
Yeah. And sorry, PC and DP, but you guys
did a very poor job.
You guys picked this guy and stuck him with poor Jasmine. So
poor Jasmine. I don't know. Truly feel bad for Jasmine. She seems so cool, so nice. She's
very
pretty.
She has so much to offer, yeah.
She could have been a little more cocky in a way because she is a beauty queen, right? She's very pretty. She's out there, but she's not. She takes care of dogs. She works with kids. She's a little reserved. I love it. And he's such a douche. They just blew it for her.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on from this douche.
Let's talk about Gina and Clint.
All right. Okay, Clint's mom looks very young.
I know.
He's 40. Just think about it.
Well, sailing keeps you young.
Like, I thought, like, seeing his mom just on this FaceTime, I was thinking, like, she's probably, like, 50, 55. But, I mean, I don't think she popped him at 10.
Well,
so
who knows? But, yeah, the ocean heals. Clint cannot stop using sailing idioms. When he's talking to his
really?
Mom, we're in smooth water. But where, but where's the stream taking us? And like, I'm like, Clint, enough, buddy. We get it. You own a boat.
But like, as he was saying later, it's a huge part of his life. It's his lifestyle. It's his family's lifestyle. They've been sailing for generations. Like, I get that. Like, he has a day job to pay bills and make money.
Yeah.
But that's like, he doesn't care. Like, yeah, I do sales or whatever.
Sales.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he's in sales.
That's totally why he's in sales.
He's like some sort of a sailing.
Yeah.
But like sailing, the actual sailing, that's it for him. Like, he loves it. And I can understand.
Oh,
like,
it's cool. Yeah, it's great.
If you, like, you're big on music because you grew up being surrounded by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a big part of your lifestyle and now my lifestyle.
Certainly.
But it's because of your childhood.
Certainly. So the conversation with mom wasn't really just all about boating. Mom owns her own business.
Mm-hmm.
And so Clint wanted to pick her brain a little bit. What's it like to be a business owner? Is it hard to find time for yourself? But he's asking questions he already knows the answer to, because he's like, well, you took time off always. You'd go to New York, you'd travel. Okay, not all business owners are good business owners. Maybe you abandoned your business to go to New York.
No, but what his mom is saying, I'm sure it's true. His mom is saying, yeah, like, I find time for myself and travel, but a new business does take everything from you. Like, you need to make sure it works before you kind of let it go to be successful on its own.
100%. It makes complete sense. I mean, even with the podcast. And
I was just going to say.
We talk about this amongst ourselves off mic all the time, which is, we do look at this as a little business. It's a tiny, tiny business. But we could work at it as much as we want or as little as we want. When you're the owner of the business, it's, okay, we could do one more social media post. We could do one more bonus episode. When you are in charge, it's up to you how much you work. And if you want it to be successful, you have to put in the work.
And just to put it in perspective, we have been podcasting for almost 3 years. It's going to be 3 years in June, right?
End of June, yeah.
And next week is the first time we're going to miss an episode. We've always
done... Is that true?
No, we've always done it. We're late sometimes, but we never skipped.
There you go, guys. Like, see what we late. Do for you.
We're late, yeah, many times, travels and other things, but up to this point, we brought the podcasting on every single vacation with us, and we're going to do it too. It's just, there's no way we can do maps because of the travel schedule, and I feel like it sucks. I'm sorry, guys, but I think we're at the point that, like, it's okay to skip one.
I hope so.
We're skipping one.
We'll find
out. We're still doing the other
two. You guys will let us know.
But for almost three years, that did not happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're building a business.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I mean, I get what Gina's doing. I get what Mom's saying. Speaking of Gina's business, we see her salon, and it's Sola Salons. And so I immediately look it up. I don't know anything about salons or the salon business, but I go, oh, what a great promo for her salon.
Oh, yeah.
It's a franchise. So she is franchising. Sola Salons is a big brand.
Oh, really?
I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
But I looked it up and it's like, oh, Sola Salons is the biggest franchisable salon in America. So she franchised the location, which, again, I don't know anything about the business, but I wonder, does that require more work? I feel like I shouldn't say that, but I feel like so much of the startup is done for you. The marketing is done for you. The branding is done for you. You have, I'm sure, designers to design your space. You have to do it to spec. It seems like at least it's easier to franchise than to start from the ground up.
I guess, but I feel like I really thought she started from the ground up.
I know.
Like, maybe they just shot here. Unique salons. Like the one I go to, that's just one stop shop, and they specialize in blonde hair.
Not gingers.
My hairdresser is a pure ginger. She has beautiful hair.
I hope you don't call
her that. But she's really good at blondes.
Okay. Speaking of gingers, Clint shows up, wants to see Gina in action. This was the definition of working hard or hardly working, ladies. Like, he just walks in and the three, I guess they're stylists, are just standing around chatting. No work to be done. You say you're so busy at work. You're just standing there chatting with your friends. But Clint likes what he sees. He's attracted to work Gina. He sees, okay, she's driven. She's successful. I get it. I like it. And I don't think the conversation with Mom hurt at all either.
Who isn't attracted to success? We all are.
To a certain point. If you put success before everything else, it can become unattractive.
No, but if you combine it, you have to make it work.
I agree. Oh, success a million times more attractive than failure.
Hard work, too. I work a lot. You work a lot. When we met, I worked a lot. And
yes.
I still found time for you. And it was hard for me because I was paying off college, going to college, having that one job, then having some weekend job, babysitting. Like, I did it all, and I still found time for you.
And that's what it comes down to, is you have to make time. And I think it was Kirsten's friend who said, okay, Shaq's busy at work, but the marriage is almost a second job.
Yeah.
He's got to schedule some time with you, and it's so true.
Yeah. I'm so happy we're doing this podcasting together because, let's say, hypothetically, I did a podcasting with a friend. I would never see you.
How dare you?
I would never.
Well, I think about that too. And the reason we were able to go so long without skipping an episode is because when we travel together.
Yeah.
If we go on vacation, we're together. We bring the mics. We do the thing.
We're together all the time.
All the time. So it's easier for us. It's not always easy, but I'm sure it's easier for us than when it's two friends who do it together. So New Day Love Exercises, again, is the name of the game here. And the question they have to answer first is, what three things bring you joy? Gina's going to go first. She's going to say quality time with people I love, traveling, and decompressing.
I'm about to put you on the spot.
Please don't.
Do it.
What three things bring me joy?
Go.
You.
Oh.
I'm going to say you is a thing.
Go.
Live music.
Okay.
Brings me joy. And I don't want to sound like I'm just biting our previous conversation, but success in work, like being fulfilled. I did something good. I think that brings me joy.
So two of those, because all three I agree with, but I'm going to replace one. Same thing. You, success, but I'm going to say traveling.
I know I was going to say travel too, but Gina said it, so.
Yeah, but also like then I can keep going snacking, eating good food, drinking wine, like it goes on and on. But I think you, success, and traveling, my top.
How about Clint with the
three Fs?
He's a member of the 3F club, friends, family. And then the third F, which I thought was going to be fudging.
What's fudging?
I'm keeping it PG because we already get the COVID warning. We don't need the, you know, explicit, which we'll get anyways. Food is the third one. Food does bring me joy, but I don't think I'm gluttonous enough to say that.
I'm surprised you didn't say sailing.
Interesting. That could be friends and family, but it's not an F.
True.
Okay.
Yes.
Next question. Share difficult things in life and how you overcame them. Gina's childhood was tough, right? Her parents divorced. So she moved around a lot. She had to go to a lot of therapists to work through it. Ultimately, shift her mindset and learn you're not just a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, her childhood was tough. Clint, okay? Now this was interesting because he goes just straight faced, no hesitation. I got a girl pregnant. She had a miscarriage after a couple weeks and it tore me up because I was super excited to have a kid, even though we didn't plan on it.
So at first it sounded bad, but then when he explained, I feel like it was nice for him to open up to Gina and she appreciated it.
I think it was great. Gina didn't even bat an eye, which I commend her for, because I can imagine so many other women, Danielle, losing their shit over hearing this. But Gina was like, great. I mean, you're 40, right?
Yeah.
That's life.
But also, like, this is the thing. It's not like I got a girl pregnant and I told her, like, I don't want it and I left her.
Right.
Oh, got her pregnant. She loves the child. And I was bummed because I already wanted it and that was hard. So...
yeah, it's a completely understandable story, and I'm glad Gina reacted that way. And then the last thing was just, what scares you about your level of chemistry right now with your spouse? And they both say, well, will it continue to grow?
Yeah.
We hope it continues to grow.
We'll see. I honestly, at this point, I see them as friends.
That's a good point. That's a good show.
I don't know if I see them as a married couple, but many times friends do turn into...
sure.
Love birds. So let's see. But I think at least they got to some sort of a friend zone or friendship zone.
It's progress.
Yeah.
All right. Enough talk about sailing. Let's do the damn thing.
Finally.
Sorry, not sorry. I was kind of underwhelmed by Captain Clint's vessel over here. I was expecting something a little more grand.
I guess me too. But if you think of sailing... You don't think of like ginormous yachts.
But when I look at Clint, I think, oh, this guy's got a couple bedrooms on board, a bathroom. No, this was your bare bones sailboat.
Yeah,
this is
what you do on a lake in Tennessee.
Also, did he name it Deng?
I don't know. I missed it.
I couldn't tell if that was the brand or if he named it Deng.
But he's excited to share this with Gina, and Gina's loving it. Gina's doing it with him. She's sailing. She's doing whatever sailors do. I don't know any of the terms, but she's living her best life.
I don't know why she was wearing sailing gloves.
I said workout gloves, but...
yeah, I don't know why she needed those. Did she bring them? Did Clint say, hey, you're going to need these? I guess you can get rope burn.
Yeah.
So good. She protected herself. But yeah, she was loving it. She was loving it. Until they got stuck in the water because the wind died down. And Teresa, you know what I'm going to say.
Been there, done that.
I was getting PTSD. They had a motor to get where they needed. We had a guy from our resort come out and push us back. So, you know where we stand with things. And then it's Gina's day. They did sailing for Clint. Now it's Gina's day. They're going to get a little country.
Professional bull riding, PBR. I loved it.
Teresa and I, we went to a rodeo when we were in Wyoming. It was great. We fully embraced it. We are like shapeshifters. Gosh. We can go from the opera, the symphony,
uh-huh,
with Jurassic Park, to Daytona 500. we absolutely loved it. They went to this PBR in Nashville. The only thing I'll say about their experience, drinking Michelob Ultras, really, guys?
Why not? I would drink a Mickey.
I love a Mickey. But come on, you're at a rodeo. Drink a banquet beer, a Bud Heavy at least.
What about Busch?
A Busch Heavy. Even a Busch Light, yeah.
But guys, I love Busch
Light. But a Michelob Ultra, come on. You're almost drinking non-alcoholic at that point.
Well, that's Busch too, but...
That's true. But this was wild. We went to our rodeo. It was classic. This, the WWE of bull riding. The lights, the fog, the... Now it was insane.
I honestly felt bad for the bulls. Like, being inside the arena, I don't know.
Really?
At least, like, our bulls were outside, just, like, running around, poking the people who were falling off of them. That was kind of, like, fun. And the bulls, again, the bulls were outside. Like, now you, like, bring the bulls inside. I don't know.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your feelings.
But I would still go.
I was fired up, yeah. Clint was loving it. He thinks he can bull ride now. And I say, here's how you settle it. Hit Broadway, find a mechanical bull, and let's see how long you last.
I've done it. I lasted for like 2 minutes.
No way.
Yeah. But they were going, so I was in Vegas and it was years ago. And it was with my friend who was an au pair for my family. And then they somehow, like, there is like a Czech poker league.
Okay.
And they come to Vegas for these poker tournaments. And she somehow got a gig to, like, clean their house that they rent.
Mm-hmm.
So we became friends with all these guys. And we went out. All of us check, right? And we were, like, betting each other how long can people last on the bull. And it was just two girls, like me and my friend, and all these guys. So, like, the lady who was doing the bull, we were telling her, like, can you, like, go, like, mild on us? We're trying to win. So
can
she
you
did.
What? Go what? Oh, mild.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. So it was, like, my bull wasn't that crazy. After, like, 2 minutes, I think she, like, booped it up. So I fell off, but.
I mean, 2 minutes is a really long time.
Yeah, I know.
It was a little too long.
I know.
All right. That is Gina and Clint. I think it's a good time to take a break, if you agree.
Sure.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a second. And we're back.
Hello, hello, Jonathan.
Hello, you little bull rider over there.
What?
I want to see you ride a bull now.
I will do it again.
I did it at my bachelor party, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Could you imagine me?
Oh my gosh.
Me wearing my sash on a bull.
One vagina forever.
One vagina forever, yeah. Woo, boys.
I got you all the, well, I suggested all that stuff for you.
Yeah.
All the
good
fun
time.
Stuff.
No bull. No bull.
No bull. But bulls are, we should do it if we get a chance somewhere.
You do it. I'll watch. I'll take video.
Yeah. Here's a lesson learned. I was riding that bull in a dress that I was ready to hit the clubs.
Oh, boy.
So everyone saw my undies.
Oh, boy.
But it was back when I was 23, wild and free and single, so who cares?
All right, Nicole and Chris. So I've said it before, I'll say it again. I still don't understand couples massages.
Okay, I could understand couples massages when you go there, you lay down in the same room and you relax. The chatting part, when you have two masseuses there, like, massaging you and you're talking about deep things, I hate that.
I don't need someone else in the room with me when I'm getting a massage. If I could get a massage without even the masseuse being there, I would choose
good
that.
Luck.
I would choose that option.
You promised me we'll go to the salt cave and you've never done it.
That's fine. That's not a massage.
No, but it's like some sort of a relaxation.
But we can chat.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
right?
Kind of.
You can't chat?
If there are multiple other people, you have to be kind of like, you can book your own.
I'll do private.
Yeah.
But I don't get it. On all these shows, we're doing couples massages. It's supposed to be relaxing. You're having these deep, uncomfortable conversations with strangers rubbing you. Mm-hmm. And then you talking to your significant other about things that should probably be talked about without strangers around.
Yep.
I don't get it. Nicole's been dying to do it, though. And these masseuses were doubling as the producers because the masseuses were asking them questions.
Uh-huh.
They were prompting them.
Here's what was interesting. So Nicole had a male masseuse with interesting haircut and Chris had a female masseuse.
I didn't see, but you request the sex
gender.
Yeah, of your masseuse.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely request. Of course.
I'll probably ask for a lady.
I would ask for a lady as well, Teresa. So one of the questions that the masseuses asked were, you guys ever massage each other? And they're like, no, but we should. And we learned Nicole now loves physical touch, but was never really into physical touch. It was never high on the love language list.
Chris is like, touch is our love language. It's like, ew.
I mean, people want to be touched by people they like.
Yes, but for me, it's like you and I never have conversations like this because we just do it.
I think we also are aware enough to know what the other person likes.
True.
In terms of love language or communication, do you like, I think you like quality time spent together. You want to spend time. You're not, you'll take a gift, but gifts aren't your love language. You don't need me to bring you.
No.
Gifts. I don't know what the other love languages are. Touch. We touch all the time, but we do. We're always cuddling.
I wish we were holding hands right now.
We're always cuddling. But I guess we touch on multiple love languages. We are trilingual probably when it comes to love languages. Try anything once. Then we get our date night at the Absinthe bar. And Nicole takes this chance to bring up the love topic once again.
I think Nicole loves him, or she thinks she does, and she just wants him to say it. And for some reason, this nice guy, Chris, he learned from his lessons, from his bad experiences, and he's not that keen to say it.
I just don't understand what she said when she goes, you know, we've never had the love conversation. You ask Chris every day, do you love me? I guess that's not a conversation, that's a question, but you bring up the love topic every single day.
I don't, like, how do you have a conversation about, I just feel like you just say it when you're ready. And this is just me, but I could not personally be discussing with you, like, hey, so when we do love each other, it's like, how do you know you will get there?
Right.
Like, you just need to get there. And, like, talking about it, like, so when we're ready, I wish, like, you will say it for us. It's like, what do you say? I almost feel like it kind of put something in your head to the point that maybe Chris will feel like, oh shit, like if I don't say, maybe this is gonna be it. So I'm gonna say it so I can save this relationship. And it's like, no, like you should say when you feel it.
That's what he's worried about too. He's worried about the premature love.
Because that's all he's been doing until this point.
It happened in the past. Nicole, I like you now. I've grown to really like you. But we're what, 2.5 weeks in? You've known this guy for 2.5 weeks. If he said he loved you, that would be suspicious.
Yeah.
So I pumped the brakes. I think the earliest you could say it and take it seriously would probably be around decision day.
Yeah.
After a couple months, you could probably, you know, I can honestly say I love this person. After 2 weeks?
Yeah.
After 2 weeks?
That's too soon.
You can say it, but
you're not going to mean it.
I don't know. People's definition of love is different.
You feel different love. I feel like the love I feel for you is just very unique. Then I obviously love my parents, love your parents, love seals. But it's a different, that's a different kind of love. I just feel this warm feeling when I see seals.
All right.
But when I see you, it's a whole different level.
It's a hot feeling.
It's much, much better than a seal.
All right. Does Chris really cut his own hair, or is this like a one-time only thing?
I think that's what he does, because he's like, I want Nicole to have the sexy Chris. Like, I want to look the best, and that's why I'm going to cut my hair on my own while it all falls on Nicole's golden dinosaur.
I'm getting the feeling that a lot of the things he's not the nice guy we thought he was. Let's just put it out there. He's really not the nice guy we thought he was or that he pretends to be.
Or he's like, I was the nice guy, but now I want to be just a guy. I just want to find a girl. I don't want to be the nice guy who gets hurt again on TV.
I'm starting to feel like the things he's doing, he's not doing as much for himself as he's doing to encourage Nicole to do the same. So when he's like, we're eating healthier, we're working out, I'm cutting my hair. It's like, he's doing it because he wants Nicole to follow suit. Because we get the bomb drop here.
Yeah, and this was like,
it wasn't good.
No, it was not good. And I think he thought it's going to be good, but it wasn't.
He was like, you know, I just want to tell you, because I said it before and I want you to hear it from me, is I said you're a little thicker than I normally go for, but not in a bad way.
And he said thicker meaning athletic, which...
Clint 2.0 over here.
So that sounds good, but the way he started, like, why do you have to say thicker? Why don't you just go with athletic?
Or muscular.
No, but why don't you just say, like, yeah, Nicole is a little more athletic. If you say that you meant thicker as athletic, why do you have to say thicker? Because that does sound bad, especially for a girl, and especially for a girl who is a little thicker and is aware of it and says it.
It's not good, and I am not 100% certain, but they showed the clip where he said it.
Yeah, he said it on the honeymoon.
Oh, was the honeymoon?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, was that the wedding night? Because his excuse was, well, you call yourself thick. But I was like, if it was the wedding, I doubt she said she was thick within the 2 hours of you meeting her.
But again, it's okay if she says it about herself.
Say whatever you want about yourself.
Yeah. It's just like, and you could tell that Nicole was like, this is not good. And I get her. She goes like, I lived in New York City. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone, it's a fashion mecca. Everyone works out. Like, if you don't, you just kind of feel like you don't belong.
It's just also so much easier to stay in shape in New York.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
Because you walk 40 blocks without even knowing it. And you're like, oh, my God, I walked 3 miles today. And it was just to go to the grocery store and work.
I used to hit my 10,000 steps on a daily basis. Now it takes me a week. Because I drive everywhere.
Yeah. it's easier to be in shape there for sure. Plus, walking up. I would walk, I don't know, I think 450? I think I would walk 50 blocks each way to work. And then I lived on the fifth floor of a five-story walk-up. So, I mean, I was in shape. I remember one time I came home, it was summer, walked the 50 blocks, walked up the five flights of stairs. Of course, there's no central air or anything. And I was dripping sweat, and I sent my mom a photo, like a selfie. And she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing to yourself over there? I'm like, New York City, mom. Hustle. Hashtag hustle.
Hustle bustle.
I'm glad Nicole stood up for herself in a way where she didn't roll over and be like, oh, it's fine that you called me that. Like, she was like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Because she needs to be more comfortable vocalizing that and not, she wants to make Chris happy. She doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. But I'm glad she was like, you know what? That's not cool. You don't have the right to say that.
And Chris does not know where to shut up because he keeps going like, you know, like your body type is your body type. Like, dude, just stop.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for him because I don't know if it's a man thing or just a human thing, but you say something, you realize it's wrong and you try to get yourself out of it by talking more, and talking more always makes it worse.
I mean, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, well, that's a foreign thing for sure.
What are you talking about?
Well, you get into trouble because you, not intentionally, but unintentionally, you say something that comes across as bad and then you have to explain yourself because you didn't actually mean to.
It's because I'm very direct. Like, foreigners are very direct, and I learned to dial back on things.
Yeah.
But look at Florian. You just say what's on your mind. You don't sugarcoat things.
You don't have the words to sugarcoat.
Well, now I do.
Okay, right. No, I meant Florian.
Well, that's for sure.
Kirsten and Shaq.
Yes. Okay. You know how I've been telling you this whole time that she is into him?
Yep.
She is into him. But I think
you might be right.
I think he might be the one who's losing an interest because she's trying to open up and I appreciate it, but yet I'm trying to figure her out. And this episode was really for me like you like him a lot, but why do you still have that guard up?
Well, is it, do you want what you can't have? Because the whole issue here, she's talking to her friend, she's FaceTiming her friend Elise, and the whole conversation is he's so busy at work, there's no quality time, and I need that from him. Is it almost like, oh my gosh, now that I don't have him, I want him?
Yeah, but she also said the honeymoon was great and living together, moving in together was even better. Like, I just think that she is very dry or like very blunt,
so
whatever
dry.
You want to call it, but that she enjoys all this, but it's hard to tell because she doesn't act on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because honestly, when you talk to your friend, this is the time to say, you know what, the honeymoon was fine. Like, there's a lot of things I don't like about him and now we're living together. Like, I'm not loving it. Like, that's the time. But she was literally the opposite. She's like, great time. Like, I'm enjoying this. So I truly think she does. She's just very non-expressive.
Yeah. So then we see them together, and Kirsten asks Shaq, have you been in love? He has been. And she wonders, well, how do you know that? And Shaq's response, and I don't know if this was calculated or not, was, well, because someone took time with me, they were patient. And I'm like, that's a subtle wink to Kirsten saying, be patient with me. I work a lot. I'm not always going to have time. Yeah. But just understand where I'm coming from and be patient with me.
Well, she needs that too. And she needs the quality time. She needs to hang out with him, which I understand. Like, I love, that's who I am too.
I agree.
I also express myself more.
I agree. She wants the quality time. And Shaq goes, well, even time apart is time. And that's where I start to go, maybe he's losing interest.
That's what I was saying. And we'll see. But he's definitely kind of thinking that, I think he just wants someone who's on the same level. And he's been giving her all this time. And I almost feel like now it's her time to shine and do a move, make a move. Because she basically told him, you know, hold on, I take some time, not big on physical touch, not big on kissing. So he's there waiting. But I think now the ball is in her court.
Yeah. So the mentees come over.
I don't fully understand this whole thing, but
I understand mentees. I don't understand the relationship here. But okay. Shaq wants Kirsten to see why I spend so much time with these guys. It was hilarious how they all squeeze onto this one couch and shovel
and
food.
And they're the only four eating. Like Shaq.
Thank you so much. We haven't eaten in weeks.
Kirsten just like watching them eat and asking them questions.
Yeah, well, what kind of a mentor is Shaq? And well, at first we thought he was super corny, but then we took a step back and realized, oh, he's hip. And here's where I go, I don't know what kind of mentor Shaq is, because should he be in the group texts with the students?
No, and should he be drinking in front of his students eating salmon?
And I know this is college, so maybe the rules are not so rigid here, but Shaq's in his 30s. College kids are 18, 19 yeah. years old. You're in group chats with them?
And listen, I get the mentorship. I get that he's there trying to keep them on track, trying to keep them and make sure they go through college and all that, right? Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I love mentoring people, but there is a certain professionalism between us.
Yeah.
That I would never be like, all right, I'm going to grab a drink and you eat and I'll tell you all about myself, but I'm going to ask you questions. Like, no.
I think it'd be less strange if he started just calling them his friends. Oh, I used to mentor them. Now we become yeah. friends. But again, you're in group chats, they're coming over, you're drinking. It's like, these are more than mentees, I think. But what they get out of Shaq is that he got a job offer, but he turned it down because he didn't want to bail on this opportunity. He didn't want to leave Kirsten.
And
he didn't want to leave his mentees, probably, is the real answer.
I loved it, and I thought, all right, that was a good move. And he said he didn't tell Kirsten because that might bring... open a can of worms. And at this point, like being together for 2 weeks, I get it, because I feel like if he brought it up, she might feel like she's holding him back. Like this way he was able to make the decision for himself. Like if they were together for a year or 6 months or so, like I would expect him to bring it up to her, right?
Yeah.
But at this point, I feel like he had to make this decision for himself.
I just think he probably wasn't that interested in the job in the first place. Because if you're that interested in it, you'll at least have the conversation.
Maybe.
You've only known this woman for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you're in it.
I know you're in it. But if it's this amazing job that you really want, you'd at least have the conversation and go, listen, I'm only going to do it if you want to.
Yeah, but also he's finishing his PhD or he has his PhD. There's gonna be other opportunities for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's passing true. On one while focusing on the marriage that he really wanted, build that up. And if there is an opportunity in the future, maybe she would go with him once they establish this. So
all good points. So, all right. Nicole and Chris get to go to an absinthe bar. Shaq brings Kirsten to the garden section of the Home Depot.
Was it?
Yes.
It wasn't a nice plant store we go to.
That was the garden section of Home Depot.
Oh, that's basic.
I love watching things grow, and the smaller the better, so there's more growth. It's symbolic of our relationship.
We're always like the biggest one, so we die soon.
What?
No, we don't. So we don't have to, because it always dies.
What we do have in common with Jack is we do name our plants.
We do name our plants.
How's Howard doing? Oh, no, Howard's our dog. Howard's our dog. It's Steven.
Steven.
And Steven Jr.
And then Steven Jr.
And when I say our dog, we don't have an actual dog. We have a, what is it, a steel metal?
Yeah, we got it at an antique shop.
It's like an antique dog, and we named him Howard. Whatever, all right? Stop judging us. So Kirsten was not that excited about this, I don't think. But hey, it is what it is. He loves his plants. Kirsten went along with it.
Yeah, and they finally picked the plan because they could not agree on anything.
They got a plan. Kirsten's day, way more exciting than plant shopping.
Well, it's relaxation time. It's some foot massages, bathrobes, blindfolding each other and talking about deep things. And he just, what I was like, wow. She's like, I'm ready to take this to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversations didn't go that well.
No, because the question was, share one thing the other person doesn't know.
Yeah.
And Shaq was very honest.
Very honest.
And it's what I said weeks ago. He came out about, oh, I have insecurities, how I was raised. I wasn't that into sports, but also I went bald early. I went bald in my 20s, and I really like plants. I have a thing for plants. But back to the baldness, it was something I struggled with. And this is where I go, all right, see? It's for a man, talking about his hair is similar to talking about a woman's weight. No one's giving Kirsten shit for being all anti-bald.
Yeah.
So he opened up about that. Kirsten appreciated it. Came around and was like, oh, your baldness looks good on you. It's all good. But then she refuses to share anything.
Yeah, I don't get that. Because she's like, there is a lot you don't know about me, yet I can't think of anything to share.
Yeah. It was almost like she has something she wants to share, but then right before she shared it, she bailed on it.
Yeah.
And Shaq was not a fan. He's like, you need to let your guard down.
Yep.
And if you can't, I don't see how we're going to progress as a couple.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to feel like I do right now on decision day.
No. So the tables are turning in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to watch.
Yes.
It was a good episode.
It was a really good episode.
It was a good episode. I really enjoyed watching it. Again, apologies that we're skipping next week, but sometimes we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, keep us posted, guys. I'll still read about it.
Well, I'm going to say we're going to watch it on the plane ride home.
Maybe.
We have a long flight, so we'll watch it. We watched it, if you want to go full circle. We were in check. We were in check this last time when the previous season of MAFS premiered. And so on the flight home, we watched, I think, 5 hours?
Mm-hmm.
I think we watched 5 hours of MAFS because the dumb first episode is 3 hours long for some reason. And then we watched the second episode, which was 2 hours. So we watched 5 hours of MAFS. Then we got home and we did a mega episode. We're taking a break this time.
We are.
I'm taking a break. All right. But hope you enjoyed this episode. Listen to it twice if you want.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Married to Reality. Make sure you're following the podcast. So easy to do. Just look down, smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it is hot. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Teresa.
Thank you.
In 1 hour and 9 minutes.
Thank you. And guys, John's birthday is next week. So send him some love too.
All right. We love love. Speaking of love, if you haven't left a review, please do. It's the perfect time to leave a review. It's the birthdays. All right.
Yeah.
Should have said that at the top of the show, Teresa. Where were you on that? No one's listening to this right now. All right. We've said it all. Have you said it all? I've said it all.
Said everything.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.